report. I'm attending a transition workshop for Thursday with the Department of Special Education here at MSD, so I'm excited to be involved with that. And then I had one suggestion under comments, and that is something that's come up at a lot of our board retreats when we talk about priorities for the board, but that we haven't really acted on yet, is the idea of separate from all of this BCPS audit information and technology stuff, is that we as a board really consider technology policy, what is age appropriate, what's effective, what's evidence-based, and what's fiscally responsible, and possibly form a work group to give guidance to the LEAs on these things. I think it's something that we are not gonna see the end of. It's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and right now I think there's some work that really needs to be done on that.
Very good, thank you. Mrs. Sard, anything? Great. And let me just weigh in again. We made sure this was in the press release, but I want to say again publicly how much I and I think the board appreciates all the work that both of you did on this committee. And this is just a great example of when board members are willing to share their expertise and energy and work with Dr. Salmon and the staff on what can get accomplished. So sincere thanks for the work you did. I was on a committee, or am on a committee, with Dr. Hardings and Dr. Lee. We're calling it the State Board Policy Review Committee. We met on Friday, November 17th, and the idea was just to go over, review the list of board policies that we have, everything from the agendas we keep to things like evaluation of ourselves and the superintendent and so forth. So we had our first meeting. We're developing recommendations. We're going to meet again. And then in January, our committee will plan to have recommendations for the board to review just on the set of policies we have, including revisions to existing and then possible new ones as well, and maybe some deletions. So nothing to report other than we're making progress. Dr. Lee, Dr. Hardings, anything? Great. Thank you for your time on that. Dr. Steiner?
Thank you so much. We are a small committee. But a powerful one with Stephanie and Cheka, looking at the teacher prep pipeline. We've had two conference calls to look at each element of the pipeline and to disaggregate the issues that we believe require further investigation and recommendations. We're going to be scheduling soon a conference call with Sarah Sprouse from this department so that we can pose certain questions to her and bring her into our discussions. We will proceed from that to and this was Cheka's wonderful suggestion, to an in-person meeting of some length, probably a half day, in which we will really dig into each of the aspects. Our intention is to come back to the full board with recommendations late January.
Great, thank you so much. Not to put anyone on the spot, but we do have three members of the Kerwin Commission here. So Dr. Salmon, Dr. Snyder, Dr. Finn, anything you want to say, any updates other than what we read in the papers?
It seems to be meeting more and more often lately, including this next Monday. I think the important information is that it's going to extend itself so that it can keep meeting. No. Instead of finalizing its report this month, which I believe was the original charge, it is going to deliver an interim report probably next month, and then a final report in mid-18. Because there's a lot of costing out involved and a lot of trade-offs associated with the costing out of various policy recommendations. And Britt Kerwin wants to engage the costing out folks in that process. And then the commission needs to get back to it because there are big dollar trade-offs involved in the recommendations. So it's going to take longer than originally intended.
The interim report, is that going to mostly have to do with policy?
Policy direction rather than fiscal impact.
And will some of that be directed at the board, or is that legislative?
Well,
some of each.
Potentially, a lot of it could be directed at the board, given the nature of some of the things that are being suggested. I mean, one thing that's been talked about frequently in public session, for example, which would be a major change for the state, is to make grade 10 be the target end of obligatory uniform learning by Maryland students, and then have what is now grades 11 and 12 be other things.
Okay. I ask about this because we probably, as a board, want to take some time, either a couple hours or maybe even a half day, if that's warranted, to review the recommendations of the committee. We're going to be very busy in January, so if the report comes out in December.
I think more realistically, going to come out in early January.
It's not going to come out in December.
Okay, so maybe then we'll plan for February.
Yeah, we have a meeting Monday, and we have a meeting the following Wednesday, so... Yeah.
Two more this month.
So I don't
one
think
scheduled for early January.
Exactly. So,
and I would treat this interim report cautiously.
Yeah, me too.
I suspect that on a back of the envelope estimate, we're probably asking for about upwards of $10 billion of expenditure, new expenditure, and that's probably not realistic.
But that's the trade-offs.
And then the trade-offs really will come once the price tags are made available. So while there will be recommendations, the extent to which they'll be made is very uncertain. And the second thing I would say is that part of the structure of what's being considered, and that does involve the board directly, is that there'll be an independent body that will adjudicate whether certain policies coming from the field meet the requirements for the release of certain funds, right? That is the current recommended structure, so that instead of just writing a check and saying, go spend it, dollars will be attached to performance plans and outcomes. And the performance plans will be evaluated by something like a base closing commission, but base opening, if you will. So that raises really complicated questions, at least for me and probably for my colleagues, about whether we end up with sort of two boards of education. And that, of course, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It may be that disappears as a structure by the time we actually get to the final recommendations. That's why I don't think it's worth getting overheated at this point. But I do want to alert the board that that's certainly been talked about at some length in public space on the commission, and does raise questions about the relationship between the board and that body.
Yeah, I agree with David. I think we have to be very cautious. It's really going to be a 10-year plan. I think certainly we will get that information out, the interim report, to the board for their purview. But to make any basic determinations of policy recommendations on it, I would be very cautious until we get the final report. And then backward map or frontward map where these recommendations are going. Because Dr. Steiner's right. We could end up with a whole new body of governance in Maryland.
And some stuff that we've been paying a lot of attention to, like teacher preparation, is very much on the agenda for this report, too.
Right, so it's very much in concert. And we may have some tweaks in terms of possible funding recommendations going into the next session that may have to do with early childhood. I'm still hopeful that we could have something coming out of that, but we don't know.
You can imagine how much everyone's looking forward to a huge tax increase during an election year.
Right.
Got it. Okay. The two other things under board reports and planning are, I can go over the tentative items for the January board meeting. Just as a reminder, we're meeting here in early December, and we won't meet again until January 30th. But before that, are there any other just general board member updates or comments?
Yes.
Please, Mr. Smith.
I would like to share a couple of things. One of the committees that I was assigned to is actually called Maryland Association of Student Councils, and that is the organization that actually selects a student member in coordination with the governor, obviously. And so MASC hosted its fall leadership conference maybe two or three weekends ago, and so there was great student attendance at that event. The next event that is going to be hosted is the legislative session, which is February 3rd, and that's going to be hosted in Charles County. That is an event, and as with all events, are things that board members are welcome to attend. And so that's where the student member on the State Board of Education is actually elected, so that'll be an interesting process to see. And I think in addition to that, going back to the Fall Leadership Conference, I actually had the opportunity to teach middle schoolers the parliamentary procedures and Robert Rules of Order, so that was an exciting process to be able to explain that to them.
Riveting.
In addition to that, there were other topics that were discussed. Another thing that we taught was diversity in terms of what it looks like in school, how you can accept it, you know, how you can work around being a diverse group and being accepting and tolerant, those sorts of things were all things that we share with the middle school students. So that was something that was exciting. And I think in addition to that, just trying to look at my list here. Last thing, I attended the NASB conference with Dr. Simpson. That was extremely exciting for me. It was my first time going to an event like that. And so to be able to network with other board members to learn about some of the things that I hear here, but to go into further depth was something that I really appreciate. And so I was happy to represent the board while I was there. It was something that I definitely would cherish. So thank you.
Thank you. Others? Dr. Lee.
I just wanted to report on going to the code.org conference in Chicago on November 2nd and 3rd, and paid for by the Department of Education, not code.org, and which was coincided with the governor's announcement of getting $5 million, or he's going to propose $5 million for computer science emphasis in the schools as a workforce issue, and his emphasis seems to be on professional teacher training. And what I learned at the conference, because I'm kind of new to this topic, is that Maryland has actually been a leader in this area and actually helped co-write the framework, the K-12 framework. And then I think there was some change in staffing and maybe it lost a little bit of momentum, but now I'm on it. And I think there's a lot of enthusiasm within the department to also continue to focus on this. And one of the things I think in the governor's the press release called for setting standards and coming up with standards, but I feel like the department has actually made quite a lot of progress on this front. So I would like to ask for an update at a future meeting on what exactly the department is doing, where we're at with the standards, what's the state plan, and then maybe we can avoid reinventing the wheel and forming another commission yet to try to figure out where we're supposed to go with this. And get a sense of the timeline for adoption of standards, because I think the framework is established. It's just a question of now making it practical and having a rigorous set of standards that every school system in the state can use as a guideline. And there are some states that are way ahead of this, because a lot of different states, I think 20-some states were represented at this conference. And I guess it's my competitive nature. I hate feeling like we're being out competed by other states, especially neighboring states like Virginia. But some states seem to be way ahead because they have a dedicated person that is on top of this topic, because it's K through 12, so it's not just in high school. It really starts with computational thinking and then moves on to more advanced topics. So the other topic I would just like to put on the table is for the board and the department to consider possibly moving foundations or the tech ed requirement, and moving that maybe down to middle school, because I feel like right now these days for our kids, and I have my own daughter who's graduating from high school, a lot of the issues with using computers and having an online presence actually begins in middle school, and I feel like it would really behoove them to learn the implications of having an online presence and some of the other issues that come about because they're on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is. Would be nice to have that earlier before they actually make the mistakes that they could be making. And so going back to the whole issue of graduation requirements, I know there's work being done on that, but I'd like to bring to the table the idea of maybe instead of doing foundations for tech in high school, which seems to a lot of people to be not necessarily the best use of time at that level, but to allow the selection of financial literacy or computer science to be alternatives that are equally accessible, and making sure that every school has that option. Because I think even though we all talk about how important it is, I don't think every high school offers the same rigorous type of coursework in these topic areas. And then I'd just like to add also, hearing the public testimony today, this issue of cell towers has been a big issue in Montgomery County. I hear a lot about that. And I wonder, I don't really know the details, and I think some of it has to do with business incentives to get money from the cell tower provider. And so I wonder if that is an issue that the state board needs to just take a look at. What is the policy? And maybe we need to separate the decision maker who has an incentive to get money for putting a cell tower on the school property and make it a higher level issue to decide whether that's even something the school should be doing. And I was wondering if it'd be possible to have some presentation on what is the standard? What is the literature on this? Because I don't feel good knowing that cell towers are being put on elementary school grounds. So that's what I'd like to end with.
Good question. Thank you. Dr. Steiner?
So I'd like to report that I'm serving pro bono on a CCSSO, Council of Chief State School Officers project that is involving seven states who are committed to looking at what Louisiana did in terms of curriculum work and creating essentially high-quality curriculum for all their teachers. About 80% of their teachers now use Eureka Math. About 75% use a good ELA curriculum. The commissioners of those states, and they include Massachusetts, are very serious about the research that we and others have been part of showing the dramatic impact of switching from business as usual curriculum to high quality curriculum, usually at no cost because those high quality curriculum are OER, they're available for free download, or cost savings. In fact, in Duval County so far, it's a major county, obviously, in Florida, public school district, they've saved upward of $10 million by switching to an OER source and much better curriculum with strong early indicators of results. So I do hope that at some point, I know we've murmured about it at various meetings, but I would like to put that front and center for the board's discussion at some point.
That being a discussion being of the state's role in curriculum?
The curriculum use across. I know that MSDE is doing some work in Baltimore City. Baltimore City has switched to Eureka Math for its default math curriculum, hasn't made a decision yet in ELA. As is a matter of public record, our institute at Johns Hopkins is conducting a study of the Montgomery County curriculum currently. But I think the question of the role of our views as a board in terms of how the department interacts with the counties on this issue is sufficiently important, and I'll just give you one stat. The research from Tom Kane at Harvard and others suggests that if you replace a kind of average curriculum of the kind that's in use all over the place with one of the tier one curriculum, that change in terms of impact is greater than replacing every first year teacher in a district with a veteran teacher.
Great, thank you. Dr. Finn.
On that point, is there, at the department, is there anything resembling a list or tally of the curricula that the districts in Maryland are currently using for ELA and math?
Yes, we are looking into that, and actually we're having Dr. Shaw do some research based on what those look like across the state.
But you actually will have the names of which curricula are being used by which district?
Yes.
You have that.
Yes.
Could we see it?
Could we see them?
Sure.
Because there really is, now that there are some competent curriculum evaluation services in existence, you really could align the curricula in use with the ratings that they get from the independent curriculum reviewing outfits.
I think you'll remember one of my goals was to create the research department to do just this, make sure that we absolutely vet some of this process, that and so local school systems don't have to go out and reinvent the wheel. So, and we make recommendations, you know, we can give gold seals to certain curricula that we know that are very effective.
And sometimes sunlight actually substitutes for regulation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right. Okay. Other comments, board members? Okay. Last thing is, let's go over the possible agenda items for the January 30th meeting, and it's going to be a number of important things. So first is, I don't know if it's possible, likely, that we're going to get ESSA comments.
Think it's pretty probable, given the time frame.
Don't they have 4 months?
120 days since we submitted September the 22nd.
All right, well, that's pretty close to their deadline.
That's why I'm saying I think it's pretty probable we're going to get something.
Yeah, they just approved Michigan, so.
Did they?
Yeah, so they're working on it.
Okay. So we will put this, we'll expect to have this on the agenda in case we need to have any discussion or make any changes. We'll also have this update that I mentioned from our policy committee. I assume we'll have something from the teacher prep committee. We're going to have the Prince George's County response to our audit presentation. We will both get, a document and then presentation from the county leaders. An update of progress on the Baltimore MOU that MSDE has had. And then we have update on the Maryland Longitudinal Data System. I guess the legislature will be up and running by then, the 90-day session.
So we'll have a report for you. I was thinking, is Patrick in the audience? I wanted to introduce him. He was before, but I, our new federal.
Oh, great.
Not federal, I'm sorry. I looked at Debbie and said federal.
State policy.
State policy director, Patrick Fleming, has been sitting in the room today, and he's going to be giving you a report.
Great.
He may have run off in terror.
Yeah. I don't think so. He's been watching the board meetings for a while.
He's
so
prepared. And then the last thing is recognition of assistant principals. So probably a full agenda. Would anyone like to add, subtract, say anything about the agenda?
Can we ask a question about ESSA? It occurs to me based on the timeline you were just outlining. We have about 7 weeks from now to our next meeting. And I believe we recall that the state will have only 2 weeks to react to
correct,
any.
Correct, 15 days. Yeah, we'll get you anything we have. Don't worry. We'll get it out to you as soon as we get something.
This may require a mechanism for an urgent conference call or something.
We'll work with Liz to figure that out so that if that happens. We talked about this.
I know, but it's now getting real.
Yeah, it is.
That's true.
And
it is.
And it's going to be Christmas and all that.
That's right. You're right.
Okay, so we'll keep on top of that, but also we probably have, in case we need a day before the January 30th meeting, we probably have that Monday held, I assume, on everyone's calendar. So if we need time to go over, we at least have that. But if we need time in advance, we can try to work on a meeting. All right. Yeah, Dr. Lee.
Can we have as a backup topic in case the ESSA thing doesn't come in time to do the computer science? Because I'm just wondering, with the assembly starting, I know Governor Hogan's putting in a bill to request $5 million for computer science, and it might be helpful for them as they're considering this to know what the department is doing.
And one other item we have to do is the KRA state by county by county data.
The release of that data.
Right.
Correct.
Yep. So we'll have to parse all this out and see if we can fit everything.
And
if
we certainly can discuss whatever is in the interim Kirwan report by that time.
Okay, so we will get back to all of the board members on the agenda, but also if we're going to ask you to actually use that Monday date. I know that's hard on some people, so we'll try not to use it if we don't have to, but okay. With this full agenda, we might need to. Okay, Mr. Smith?
If I could, I was just asking Ms. Izzard about this, and I wasn't sure, and she was letting me know that it wasn't covered yesterday, but I wanted to know if we could come back to it at some point. I believe we left the sort of like the window open for discussion to come back on the bridge plan in terms of if we're going to separate the diplomas or not. And so that was something that was discussed, you know, in passing as we discussed what we wanted to do moving forward with diplomas and what that means at large. And so I'm wondering, are we going to have a chance to come back to that either next month, the month after?
Let me talk. Are we doing a committee for that?
Yes, okay. Dr. Salmon, thank you for asking.